Andrea, 88.1, K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9, K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5, KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we give you the highest praise, for you are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. There's none like you, my Father, in all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God you are. And Father, you have done, you are doing, and you will forever be doing, my Father God, great and mighty things, my Father God. How great is our God? How great is our God, Father? Awesome God, mighty God. Who can compare to you, Father? There's none like you. For you declare the end in the beginning, my Father God. That's awesome, Lord. And Father, we want to be careful to make sure that we give you all of the credit, all of the honor and all of the praise for how great you are, for the great thing that you've done, and for, Lord, who you created us to be. And who you created us to be, my Father, ain't a devil in hell, no demons, no he, no she, no they, nobody, nothing in this universe can stop us from becoming who you created us to be. And for that, Father, we say thank you. And again, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, both now and forever. Now, Father, we humble ourselves under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we ask, Lord, that by your Spirit, you take control. Holy Spirit, less of me and more of you. In fact, none of me and all of you. You speak through these lips of clay to minister to all of our needs. For you know the mind of the Father, and you know the will of the Father. And the only way it can be revelated to us is through you. So I humble myself under your mighty hands, and I say yes to your will, yes to your way. You are comforter. You are guide. You are teacher. You are leader. You are helper. So again, Holy Spirit, take control in this radio broadcast today and minister to the needs of God's people. And we're forever grateful. And we pray this prayer in the precious, mighty name of Jesus Christ, and so shall it be. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Well, I wish y'all could see the big old smile that come up on my face every time I say that. Every time I come on this radio broadcast and say, hey, mighty men and hey, mighty women of the Most High God. And hey, super men and super women of the Most High God. Boy, that bring a joy over me, man. And I don't even have the words to explain it. Why? Because, boy, my pride is that, boy, you grab a hold to those statements and that you seize that and you place that in your possession. Because in reality, whether you know it or not, whether we're walking in the reality of it or not, it's still an eternal truth. Why? Because he spoke that over us. He who? Your Father, which is in heaven. He spoke over us. And we are who we say we are. We have what he say we have. And we can do what he say we can do. Whether we operate in it or not, his word is still eternal. His word can return unto him, Lord. It got to accomplish what he sent it to do. And he spoke over us. Listen, with the first word he spoke over us, it bears repeating. I say it all the time on this radio broadcast. But this is the first word that came out of God's mouth concerning you and concerning me and concerning all mankind. God said this, not the preacher, not the pope, not the bishop, not the president, not the prime minister, not man, not woman. God said this, let's make mankind in our image, just like him. That means just like us. He said, let us. So that means that when you say us, there's a triune being that has a part to play in accomplishing this. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Who is the us and the our? That's the Father God. That's the Son God. And that's the Holy Spirit God. The Father God is the source and sustainer of everything. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's the material, the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, he's the contractor. He's the one that take the material, the Word of God, that come from the Father and bring it into manifestation in the earth. Who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. He said, let us make them just like us. And then he said this, and let them, who, that's all mankind, have dominion. That word dominion there means power, control, and influence, kingship, rulership. Over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the plant, the trees, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth. What he said, let them have rulership over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth. What he say? Let you and I be rulers in the earth. Hallelujah. Have dominion over all the earth. And then he said this, and he blessed them. You know what the word breath means? He empowered them. He put on the inside of all of us the potential to be able to accomplish that. And then he said unto us, let them be fruitful. That's man productive in accomplishing this. Let them multiply. That's why he made them in two models, male bodies and female bodies, so that through those two models, he can procreate men, all of the human race. But he say, and let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What replenish mean? I mean fill the earth. Fill the earth with what? Mankind. So that when mankind leave men, the Garden of Eden or the presence of the Lord and go to their spot on the earth, then they will be taken for the kingdom of hell, which is the Garden of Eden. They would be taking it to their spot on the earth until the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. You know what the glory of God is? The manifestation of his word. The reality of his word in manifestation. What he said, let them be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue the earth. Good God Almighty. What to do mean? Subdue. Man, control it. Control the earth. Hallelujah. Influence the earth. have power and control and influence over all the earth. And then in chapter 2, he said, man, he said this, and God formed man's body. Listen, man is spirit being just like God. The body is the house that is spirit, means the little offspring of God, the little sons of God, is what we live in. Your body is not you. Your body is your temple, your house that you live in, that God formed from the earth, from the earth. Why? So that his sons and his daughters, his spirit beings that live in a physical body here on this physical earth could have dominion over this earth. Hallelujah. So he made a body for us to live in that comes from the earth. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, and he placed mankind in a spot on the earth for the moment with an open door into a delightful place, the presence of the Lord. What's that? That's heaven on earth. God created a spot on the earth that was conducive to the territory of heaven itself, and he placed you and I in there. It's important for you to know that. That's why I say that all the time on this radio broadcast, because if you don't know that, then you won't know the original plan and intent and purpose for the creation of the earth and for the creation of mankind. And if you don't know that, then, man, you will miss at the use of your creation and your existence. David said this, Lord, you won't understand really what the Bible is all about. David said this in Psalms chapter 119. I think it's around verse 110 or 104, somewhere in that area. I don't know the Bible in chapter and verse. I just know the word, what it say. He said, Lord, teach me your precepts. Precept is a grammatical construct. It's a word with a prefix on it. The prefix is, teach me your precepts. What pre is? Before. Hallelujah. What sep is? Ideas. So precepts is, Lord, teach me your original ideas. Your original intent, your original plan, your original purpose. I'm not talking about your permissive will. I'm talking about your perfect will, that which was from the beginning, that which was before the fall of man and the rebellion of Adam. And what was your original intent for the creation of the earth and mankind? Because through your precepts, I gain good understanding. That's why I say it's important for you to know that, because if you don't know God's precepts, his written intent and plan and purpose, then you will misunderstand the word of God. And you will be preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. I always say that, too, on this radio broadcast. You know, the devil's most successful tactic is to preoccupy us with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. You know, I never want you to know God's original precept. So he'll preoccupy us with God's means to the original precepts. And we'll preach and teach that, and the people don't know what the original precepts are. And without that, they would say, without you, teach me your precepts, because without that, then I won't have good understanding. I won't know what's really going on. I'll preoccupy with your means of accomplishing your original intent and plan and purpose and miss that. Why? You did that. Why you created man in your image? Why you gave us dominion over the earth? What you doing? Not what we doing, not what my church is doing, not what religion is doing, not what the government is doing, not what social media is doing, man, but what you doing. And teach us how to make that our number one priority. What? He say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. And not only what he's doing, but his ways of doing what he's doing. And he's saying, if you seek it, you will find it. How come, man, most people ain't found that treasure that hid in the field? Because they ain't seeking it. They're seeking everything else. But they ain't seeking, man, the perfect will of God. They might be seeking the permissive will of God, but they ain't seeking, man, the perfect will of God. They got two wheels. They got the perfect will of God, and it got the permissive will of God. What's the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God, man, is God's original intent and plan and purpose for your life. That's the perfect will of God. What's the permissive will of God? That's the will of God for your life after Adam rebelled against God and the word of God. We call it the fall. Hallelujah. Then God had to deal with man now after that according to his permissive will, thing that he had to permit to happen on the earth. Why did God have to permit it to happen on the earth? Because he gave Adam, all mankind, dominion over the earth. See, listen, God can't violate his word. If he gave us dominion over all the earth, then he can't come in and usurp authority over that. He'll be violating his word. So everything that's going on the earth, man, it ain't because of what God doing. Some people say, why God let this happen? And why God let that happen? If God's so good, why this? And why all this on the earth? That ain't God's problem. That ain't God's fault. That ain't God that, man, that caused that. It was mankind that caused that. He gave you and I and mankind and Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. So everything that happened on the earth is not, man, what God did. It's what mankind has done. So don't blame that on God. It's you and me. God gave us dominion. So if the devil is usurping authority and dominion over the other, that's because you let it happen. And the only reason why you letting it happen because you don't know what's really going on. You don't know the precepts of God. Listen, I ain't come to preach you no pink tea gospel, man. I come to tell you the truth of what's really going on. Now, whether you receive it or not, that's between you and God. I'm just a messenger. What did old saying in the world say, or even in Christianity say, hey, listen, don't stone the messenger. If you got any problem with me, man, take it up with God. Because the only thing I'm going to tell you on this radio broadcast is what the word say. I ain't going to give you my opinion about nothing. Because in the kingdom, I don't have no opinion. What the king say, that's what goes. So when I come on this radio broadcast, I ain't going to tell you nothing but the word of God. Nothing but what the word say. I ain't going to never tell you, man, well, I think this and this is my opinion about this. Why? Because I am an ambassador of Christ and an ambassador of God, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I don't represent myself. I represent, man, God and his kingdom and the Christ of his kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm an ambassador. Somebody say, what you are, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, a bishop, a pope? Or, no, I ain't none of that. I'm a king. Glory to God. And listen, I don't care what you think about that or not. I told you, he spoke over me. And he spoke over you, too. And listen, when I say I'm a king, that's good news, but there's a greater news. Hallelujah. What's the greater news? You a king, too, if you're in a male body. And you a queen, if you're in a female body. But what's the problem? How come I ain't ruling and reigning over my territory? Because you don't know who you are. You think you a servant of the Lord. Man, I ain't no servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. I serve the Lord. The Bible said in the book of Colossians, man, we no longer servants but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ Jesus. You can be a servant if you want to. Not me. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say we don't serve. I say you're not a servant. You a son that serves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that's what he spoke over your life. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Listen, you tell me if you don't know, man. You might have heard it. You might have read it. You might have heard the preacher talk about it. But you are heir of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 34, it says, come, all of you. That's an invitation to everybody. All of you who are blessed of your Father and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of heaven. That was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. I told you his precepts. That was prepared for you before there was an it or there, a when or where, before there was anything. God already decided for his destination for our lives. And then he began to speak it. What's a precept? His original idea. Even before man, it came into manifestation. Do you know everything began with an idea? This radio broadcast that you're listening to, it was first an idea. The house that you live in, it was first an idea. The shoes that you wear, the clothes that you wear, that was first an idea. Everything begins with an idea. With an idea, the original man picture. And then it became a concept, a pictured idea. And then, man, God spoke. And when God spoke, he took his original intent, his original idea, And it became a picture in his heart and in his mind. Then he spoke. And when he spoke, listen, the Holy Spirit, remember I told you the contract, took the material, what? The word of God that come from the Father God and brought into existence, man, what God's original intent, plan, purpose, and destiny for our lives. That's why I say he's finished, even in the beginning. The book of Isaiah 46, verse 10, say, "They listen, fix this in your heart, I'm God. And there's none like me. Got a lot of wannabes like me, got a lot of pretenders like me, but there ain't but one God. Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." Hallelujah. One God. And you say, boy, let me tell you something. I declare the end from the beginning. In other words, I finished before I start. I show you the end in the beginning of the book. See, when you read those verses I was quoting earlier in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2, God, the original word that he spoke over your life, my lesson maker in our image and our likeness, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, and then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where he formed man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into man's body, and man's body became a living soul. What's a living soul? That's a spirit, that's the spirit of God, the offspring of God, that's living in a physical body that's filled with the spirit of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the ability of God, the authority of God, living on the inside of our spirit being that's living in his physical body on this physical earth. For what purpose, Arthur? To manifest the glory of God on the earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. Now, I don't know what your church is doing. I don't know what denomination is doing. And I don't know what religion is doing. I don't know what the Pope is doing. In fact, I don't even care about what the Pope and nobody else doing, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Christians. I don't care about none of that, about what man doing. My only concern, boy, is what God is doing in your earth. Hallelujah. Why? Because many are the plans in the man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail, boy. So I did like Jesus said, man, you know, way back, long time ago, man. Well, you say, get your priorities in line. What's my priority? Seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. And if you seek that first, what God doing, his original precepts and concepts and ideas and intent and purpose and plan and destiny for your life, if you seek, you're going to find it. In fact, if you ask him about it, man, to show you, man, you ask, you will receive it. And if you seek it, you will find it. And if you knock, the door to it will be open to you. And you'll be able to come on in, man, and enjoy, boy, kingdom life. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't say, man, natural life. I ain't say Christian life. I ain't say Buddhist life. I ain't say Hindu life, Muslim life, Catholic life, Baptist life, non-denominational life. All that's all right, man, under those, whatever it is. But make sure, boy, if you're in that and operating in that, man, you operate, man, in that in the light of the kingdom of God. Kingdom life. If you're going to be a Christian that live in kingdom life, not religious life. If you're a Buddha man, bring your Buddhism into the kingdom. If you're an atheist, bring that into the kingdom. If you're a narcissist, bring all that into the kingdom. Because if you ain't in the kingdom, then you're living in the wilderness. Like I told you, I ain't cutting the tickle of your ears. And, man, it's a going on in God, man. It's a going on in God, man. And it's time for us, man, to come out of the elementary things of God, man. And, man, grow in the, man, I'm talking about beginning to grow in the things of God. For what purpose, God? So that you can go on in God. That's a going on in God. Salvation ain't the end. Salvation is actually the beginning. When you get saved, then that ain't the end. You got to go on in God. Why? Till you receive the end of your salvation, which is the salvation of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your attitude. That's all in the process of being saved. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then the only thing that saved, boy, is your spirit being. He was dead in trespass and sin. But, boy, when you hear the good news about the love of God and the cross and all that and everything else and how Jesus died for your sin, listen, then you get born again. When you're born again, you're a little bitty baby. Just like in the natural realm. You don't know how to walk like God wants you to walk, talk like God wants you to talk. You can't even feed yourself, man. You need somebody to help you, man, understand the Bible, man. You're a little taller. You're a little bitty baby. And, boy, the only thing you can partake of is the milk of the Word of God. But boy, the purpose for the milk of the word of God is to get you to the place where you can take a little bit of the parable, and then the parable, then the baby food, then the baby food to a little bit stronger food until you grow to maturity. There's a going on in God. Going from your next to your next to your next to your next, what? Experiencing God and growth in God, man, and going higher and higher and higher. The Bible says in Corinthians, going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. Who is that? That's the teacher. That's your nanny. That's the one that's going to, man, give you the milk of the word, the parable of the word, the baby food, then a little bit stronger food, then a little bit stronger food. He's the one that's going to teach you how to crawl, how to walk, how to talk, how to live. He's the one that's going to educate you. That's the education. Listen, thank God for the education system here in the world, but that's another education system, man, that you be taught, man, by the Spirit of the living God. That you go to the school of heaven where the Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the guide. He's the helper. He's the comforter. I told you, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. The Father did his work, and he finished. That's why I say he declared the end from the beginning. He started, and you know what the Bible says, on the seventh day he rested from all his work. In other words, he threw. Then mankind, man, got deceived by the devil, and the devil, man, you know, caused mankind to get out of position. Get out of right standing, lose his righteousness, and found himself living out in the wilderness. He declared independence from God. And then he got put out of the presence of the Lord. And he became an unclean vessel. And the Holy Spirit can't live in no unclean vessels. So he had to go too. So what man lost in Adam? He lost his sovereignty, his dominion, his kingship, his original purpose, his original. He know what he really lost? He lost his identity, what? Who he really is. He lost, boy, his source, his origin, where he really come from. He lost his purpose, why he really here. He lost his potential, what you really can do. And he lost his eternal destination. Hallelujah. Where he going to end up at? You're going to end up, man, in heaven, but not in the heaven where God is. You're going to go there, but that ain't your final destination. When it's all said and done, the Bible said in the last two chapters of the Bible, he showed you the consummation of it in chapter 21. He said, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. That's all of us who are going up to heaven. Coming where? Back to a new earth. And the earth, that new earth that he's coming back to, is just like God originally intended for it to be. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is a colony of heaven. The whole earth is a garden of Eden. And what happened? And I saw all of the people who had died and gone up to heaven, boy, coming back down to heaven on earth. God's original intent, his original precept, his original idea, his original plan, his original purpose, his original intent for the creation of the earth and mankind. Doing what? Coming back to the earth. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Just like it was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, before the fall. Mankind was living in heaven on earth in a spot. And man, he was walking and talking with God in the presence of the Lord 24/7 in the cool of the day. And he was filled with the Spirit of the Most High God. On his way to fulfilling God's original intent and plan and purpose for his life. What was his original intent and plan and purpose for the creation of mankind and putting him in that spot on the earth? So it's from that spot, not from the wilderness, not from religion, not from tradition, not from rituals, not from ceremonies, but from that spot, what, heaven on earth, and he could be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the whole earth. From that spot, he would make the whole earth, boy, just like that spot, until the whole earth, glory to God, be a colony of heaven. Shall it be on earth just like it is in heaven? You've been praying that all your life, and perhaps have not understood what you've really been, man, petitioning God for. What we've been praying, our Father, that's the source and sustainer. Where is he located? Which art in heaven, where he at, that's where he is. Hallowed be thy name, that's to give him his prop, give him glory and honor and praise and acknowledge him for who he really is, a mighty God, an awesome God. Hallowed be thy name. The first petition, priorities first. Remember what I say, priorities first? The first petition, the first request in your prayer life, should be, Lord, let your kingdom come in my life. Why is that so important? Because when your kingdom come in my life, then your will, many are the plans in my heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail for eternity. So, Lord, let your kingdom come. Why? So that your will can be done. Well, in my life here on earth, how? Just like it is in heaven. You know what you're saying when you say that? Lord, let it be in my life here on earth just like it is in heaven. Now give me this day my daily bread, everything that I have need of, Lord, to accomplish that in my life. Hallelujah. That's the daily bread that you'll be asking for. Not, Lord, give me no car, give me a business, give me $1 million, give me this, give me that. Lord, give me everything that I have need of to accomplish what your kingdom in my life here on earth, so that your will can be done in my life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So give me this day my daily bread, everything that I have need of to accomplish that. Give me the righteousness that I need. Give me the peace that I need. Give me the joy that I need. Give me the forgiveness that I need. Give me the love that I need. Give me the ability that I need. Give me the word that I need. Give me the give me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness so that I can accomplish your will and your purpose for my life. Not my will, not my purpose. Many are the plans in my heart, but it is your purpose that will prevail. Hallelujah. So help me to get in on what you are doing. Instead of me coming to you and trying to get you in on what I'm doing and what I want to do, Lord, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I ain't coming to you and asking you, Lord, to get in on what I'm doing and what I want and what my will is. I'm coming to you, Lord, and saying, not my will, but your will be done in my life here on earth. Hallelujah. And Father, as you give me every day everything that I have need of to accomplish that, then I see in my life that that means I got some shortcomings. I got some faults. I got some mistakes. I miss it, Father. I lose my way sometimes, Lord. I get off track sometimes, Lord. It's my heart and desire, man, to do everything that you want to do. But sometimes, Lord, I miss it, Lord. Sometimes I miss the mark, Lord. I still got some issues. I still got some problems in my life. So forgive me, Father, of all my faults and mistakes as I sojourn into becoming who you say I am. Forgive me of my trespasses, even as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Not only am I asking you to forgive me, Lord, but help me to forgive all those, Father, who have sinned against me, who have come against me. And not only help me to love my neighbor, help me to love my enemy too, my Father God. Help me to love all mankind the same way you love all mankind, in spite of their faults, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their inabilities, Father. Help me to love you, Father, and to love one another, Father, with the same love wherewith you loved us with. What love is that? Well, you look past all our faults and all our mistakes, and you saw what our true need was, to be loved unconditionally. So help me to love you, Father, unconditionally, and help me to love me and my fellow man unconditionally. I don't care whether they black, whether they white, whether they green, they purple, whether they racist or what it is, Father. Help me to be forgiving and forgetful of one another's faults and mistakes, and let love shine in our relationship one with the other, Father God, so that we might fulfill your greatest commandment. What? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hallelujah. Forgive us of all our faults and mistakes, that we forgive all those who trespass against us. Lead us not into, boy, all the ways of this world system that we live in, and the destruction that's in this world, and the racism that's in this world, and the pain and the sickness and the disease and the poverty and the lack that's in this world. Lead us not into those temptations, but deliver us from all sin and evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, both now and forever. Amen, and so shall it be. What you saying, brother, man? I'm telling you, boy, what God, the original intent and plan and purpose and will and destiny is for all our lives. And he tells us how to accomplish it. Did they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray? And Jesus, man, said, okay, I sure will. And what Jesus gave them was a template. We call it the Lord's Prayer. What that was Jesus Christ, man, giving him a lecture on how to pray. So the Lord's Prayer is not what you pray. That's a template. For instance, if on your computer you got an app on there where you can download, man, you know, say for instance you're looking for a job and you want, man, you know, what they call that thing, help me, Holy Spirit, what they call it, man, it's on the tip of my tongue, man, but I'll say it in a minute. The Holy Spirit will bring it to my remember what you need, you know, when you're putting in an application, man, for a job or something like that, you know. You can download it, man, you know. And when you download it, man, they got, man, a resume, that's it. They got at the top your name, your address, your contact information, man, your qualifications, the position that you're applying for, your qualifications, man, what your skills and what your talents is and everything else. And then at the bottom, man, they got you where you can sign your name on there. That's what the Lord's Prayer is, the template. That's the resume. Now, if you get a resume, man, from an employer and you download the resume, you know, for the template for a resume, and then you, man, just send the resume itself to the employer, you think you're going to get the job? You don't even have your name on it. You don't even have your address on it. You don't even have, man, you know, what you qualify for, what you're applying for. All you sending is the empty resume. How you going to get the job, man, if you just send the employee the resume? That's what the Lord's Prayer is, the resume. You got to fill it in, your name, who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to fill in, man, where your address is, boy. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, man. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm a member of the royal family of the Most High God. I ain't talking about, man, them other titles. I ain't talking about them other things. You got to put in your qualification. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am who my Father say I am. I have what my Father say I have. I can do what my Father say I can do. By stripes I'm healed. My God supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. What you doing here? Now you're filling out the resume. Hallelujah. You making your petition known. Hallelujah. To the employer. You putting in there what you desire to accomplish, what you can do, who you really are, everything else, your qualification. Hallelujah. And then boy, at the bottom of it you sign your name. What's your name, man? Hey Kalabashandari Yada Bobo Shandara Basanda. I am who I am. By the grace of the Most High God. Hey, listen, who you are? I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a king and a queen if we live in a female body. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I'm the son of the Most High God. I originated in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. That's where I came from. Our Father, which art in heaven, I came from my Father, and if he's in heaven, then I came from my Father that's in heaven, so my citizenship is in heaven. I came from heaven. Hallelujah. Well, to another territory that God gave me, so I could have my own territory. The heavens and the highest heaven, that belonged to my Father. But the earth, he gave that to me. Why? Because in his territory, the only thing I could be is a prince or a princess. And I don't have control of what's going on up there. But the only way I can have control, man, God got to give me my own territory. So he brought me down here to the earth, glory to God, so that I could have my own kingdom. What's a kingdom? A territory over which a king has power, control, and influence over, impacting it with his will, his intent, his plan, his purpose in that territory. What's a kingdom again? A king's domain, or the domain or the territory which a king rule over. That's why I say, bro, you the ruler of the earth. You the king of the earth. Amen. If anything ain't going on up on this earth, it's because, man, Adam the one who, man, turned the authority and the power of the earth over into the hands of the devil, and the devil plunged our earth into what it is here today. Not God. It was Adam who did that, turn over the dominion that God gave him over the earth to the devil. And the devil plunged our territory that God gave us and to what we have here today, racism, poverty, sickness, disease, division, man, among mankind, and all of that. Ain't God did that. That's the devil did that. And God gave you the authority, man, to stop the devil. You lost that in Adam, disobedience. But let me tell you something, man, Jesus Christ, the original Adam, he came, man, and got that back for you. That's what the death and the burial and the resurrection and all that stuff that he came into the earth doing and displaying, man. It was to show you who you are, what you can do, where you come from. Where he come from, he come down from the Father, just like you. What he did, he went about, man, destroying the works of the devil, just like you can do, just like God gave you. Adam had to tell that devil, get out of here, man. All Adam had to do was say, hey, look, baby, put that thing down. God told her, don't eat off that tree. And, man, that woman wouldn't have had no choice but to obey him. Well, after God gave him dominion over the earth. But he sat there, man, and looked at the woman, ate it, and when he seen nothing happen to her, then he took and ate, too. Because it was something to be desired. What? To be God all by yourself. Not to be independent from God. To be just like the Most High God. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He said, instead of staying in his position, listen, he was the most anointed cherubim out of them all. He was over all the angels. He had more power and authority than all the angelic hosts that God made. He was the praise and worship leader of heaven. He was always in the literal presence of the Most High God, 24/7. He was the most beautiful created angel out of all of them, man. Hallelujah. And he got beside himself and got lifted up in pride and said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of my creator. And the Bible say, boy, war broke out in heaven. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning coming out of heaven. How you going to, man, come against Almighty God? The war started in a flash, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It was over with. Hallelujah. Just like Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they lost the Holy Spirit and got put out of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Got put out of the Garden of Eden. So, boy, I'm talking about, but boy, let me tell you something. God so loved his original plan and his original idea and his original intent. And his original concept, boy, that he sent here, he came himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and redeemed our lives from that destruction. But don't just get caught up in the redemptive work of God. Yes, that's very important, because without that, you can't get to the destination. But don't just stop at the redeeming work of God. I told you, there's a going on in God. Go on, man, and get what you've been redeemed for back. You was redeemed for a purpose. He died upon the cross and cleansed you from all your sins, man, not so that you can go to heaven. He did that for a purpose. Why? So that you could get your sovereignty back, your dominion back, your power back, your original intent, your original purpose, your original source, your original, to get everything that you lost in Adam to get it back, your dominion over the earth, your power over all the power of the enemy, man, your authority, your kingship, your crown. To get all of that back, man, to restore you back to God's original intent and original plan and original purpose and destiny for your life. To restore you back from that which was not in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. What? That was in the mind of God even before the foundation of the world. What was in the mind of God? I'm on me a whole bunch of sons, just like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want them to have dominion over their own territory. Hallelujah. And I want them to make it in their territory just like in the territory that they originated from, heaven. So he created man in his image. And his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And he blessed them. And put them in the Garden of Eden, heaven on earth, and started them on course toward their destination. What's their destination? To make earth, man, just like heaven. And to live in that spot, in that atmosphere, and in that environment forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, the devil, man, will deceive you and have you, man, trying to get to hell, thinking that that's your eternal destination, that when you die and when you go before the judgment seat of God, you're going to live in heaven forever and ever with God. Listen, that's a deceptive word. That's a little bit of truth mixed with a lie. You're going to go to heaven. But that ain't where you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. You're coming back, glory to God, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. The Lord said that, and man, I'm telling you, I don't care what you think or believe or what. It's the word of the Lord that's going to abide. Heaven and earth going to pass away. But the word of the Lord, That's going to buy forever. So, man, I stopped listening to man's opinion and everything else, and I started doing just like what Jesus Christ said, man. Get your priorities in line. Seek first, man, what God said, man, and what he said from the beginning, man, and his way of doing things and what he's doing in the earth and how he's doing it in the earth. And I'm telling you, if you seek, you'll find him. How come everybody ain't found him? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hid in the field. Boy, but you know, it ain't hidden from you. It's hidden for you. And if you seek it, you'll find it. What's the field? The field is this world and all the systems that's up on this world and all the words that's in this world and books and teaching and education and political and every system that's up on this earth. The whole world, boy, that's the big field. But you say in this field, there's a treasure. Glory to God. What's that treasure? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says when a man found that treasure, he went and sold everything that he had. All that other stuff that he was into, all that other thing that he was seeking for, fame, man, you know, popularity, man, money, man, houses, land, cars, prosperity, all that. He went and sold all of that, man. Why? Because all that he thought he was seeking for, all that was in that field, in that treasure that was in that field. Listen to you, let me tell you something, man. When you find out, boy, about the kingdom of heaven and that's your inheritance, man, and you couldn't find out, boy, that the streets is paved with gold and all that's yours, man, let me tell you something, boy, you'll stop going after, man, what they call that thing, man, you start going after position. You start going after money. You stop going after trying to be a self-made millionaire. You stop going after healing, man. You stop going after all this, man. Why? Because when you find that treasure in the field, all that you're looking for in life is in that field. It's in that treasure. It's in that field. So you'll sell everything that you got to get that treasure that's in that field. Because everything that you're seeking for, everything that you're searching for is in that treasure. That's in that field. That's in this world that we live in. The world's systems that we live here on the earth. Everything that you're looking for, everything that you're seeking after, everything that you want is in the kingdom of heaven. That's why you want a man go to heaven, because that's the perfect world. That's the utopia. Well, let me tell you the good news is, man, you ain't got to try to go to heaven, man. Listen, boy, God loves you so much that he brought the Garden of Eden back to you. He brought the tree of life back to you. He brought heaven back to the earth, the way he set it up on the earth in Genesis chapter 1. You're trying to get to a place, man, that God then brought back to you. Jesus Christ came with the government on his shoulder. What government? What you mean? He came with the governing system of heaven, how heaven is governed, kingdom life, how life is lived in the kingdom of heaven. He came to bring that governing system. He came to bring a religion. He came to bring the governing system of heaven back to the earth, the one that God had set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and placed mankind in and started him on course toward his destination. He lost that in Adam's disobedience, but Jesus Christ come to bring that back to you and I. His death, burial, and resurrection, that was to clean you up so that, man, the Holy Spirit can come live on the inside of you once again. And that's the divine connection between God and mankind in heaven and earth. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person in the earth today, man. Let me tell you something. You need the Holy Ghost. He's not no option. Without the Holy Ghost, man, you can't live, man, a God kind of life, the life the way God intended for you to live and have what God intended for you to have and do what God intended for you to do. The only way you can do that is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And without him, it's impossible for you to live the Christian life. And, man, what our problem is, that's why we struggle so much. We're trying to do everything, man, outside of the Godhead. Remember what the Bible say? God say, let us make man in our image. So the Father got a part to play, the Son got a part to play, and the Holy Spirit got a part to play. We have, man, come to a little knowledge of what, man, the Father's role is and the understanding of the fact that he's finished. We got a little bit more knowledge of what Jesus' role is. He died up on the cross for our sins, man, and he died for us so that we can be forgiven and everything else. And he's finished. But that ain't the end. It's another member of the third head that has the, man, the most important role in the creation of mankind in God's image. What? That's the finished, man. Hallelujah. To bring about the fullness of it, the manifestation of it, the consummation of it, to lead and guide you who had fallen in Adam, that has been restored back in Jesus Christ, to lead you into the fullness and the reality of it. That's the one that's at work in the earth today. The Father finished his work. He spoke it, and if he spoke it, it's got to come to pass. In Genesis chapter 3, mankind had a role to play in too. All he had to do was be obedient to God and stay in the will of God and stay in the right standing with God. How? By obeying God. He said, don't eat off the tree. Well, don't eat off the tree. But we know what Adam did. He ate off the tree, and he got out of the will of God and found himself out of the kingdom of heaven on earth, out of the Garden of Eden, over into the wilderness. But Jesus Christ come fixed all that up. He come redeemed our life from that destruction. But that ain't it. That's the means to it. What the it is so that, man, you can be restored back to your original state. That's why I say be returned. Go back to your original state. Go back to God's original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for all our lives. That through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you can come back to that original state. You can be revived. You can be restored. You can be reconciled. You know, you can be one with God again, man. You can be revived. Revived means, boy, if you die, you can be made alive again. You can be reborn, born again. Hallelujah. You can be. You can repent. Repent don't mean go down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. No, you can come back to the top way of living, the top way of thinking, the top way of walking, the top way of being, the top way of living, man, the top way of thinking. Well, you can have the mind of Christ that had the mind of God, hallelujah, and think the thoughts of God and be like God and act like God and talk like God and walk like God and manifest God's will in the earth, man. I ain't talking about just having church. I'm talking about being the church, glory to God. And boy, that's why it's time for us to grow up from the elementary stuff, man, of just having church. That's elementary. Till we grow, man, the purpose of having church is so that you can grow in the knowledge of how to be the church. So that when you leave the building after having church, then you can go out into your everyday circle of influence and be the church. What being a church? Manifest, boy, what was preached to you in the earth. But the work that Jesus Christ did, we can do also. Well, he went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. What? Casting out devils, healing the sick, setting the captives free, opening blind eyes, those who are blind to the truths of what God will and what God intend and what God purpose and plan for our life. Those who are blind to that, opening their eyes to that, man. I ain't talking about just physical blind eyes and unstopped physical lame legs, but I'm talking about, boy, opening up spiritual blind eyes so that we can see what God is doing. Healing spiritual lame people. I'm not talking about those who are in wheelchair and paralyzed and everything else. That's included in it. But I'm talking about those who can learn how to walk in the Spirit, hallelujah. Walk after the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit, hallelujah. Follow, boy, the will of God for your life. Walk in the reality of what it means to be children of the Most High God. What are you worried about doing? Casting out devils. What the devil job is, boy? Keep you from the knowledge of all that. How you cast out devil? By exposing the devil and letting the world know that the devil is a defeated foe and his kingdom has come down. The Bible says Babylon has fallen. Hallelujah. And the prince of Babylon and the king of Babylon has fallen along with it. What you mean? The devil, boy, been made a show of openly in front of all his demon cohorts. Jesus Christ took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil and rendered him powerless, hallelujah. And then he took them keys, man, and gave it back to who it rightfully belonged to, you and me. He said, now you go and you occupy. And you get back on course to God's plan and purpose for your life. And you start living the victorious life, hallelujah. And you start living, man, the kingdom life, man, once again. Not religious living, kingdom living, glory to God. What kingdom living? Ruling in life. Ruling over circumstance, situation, and symptoms that confronts our life, man. Taking our authority over the devil. Instead of the devil dictating to us, man, through poverty and lack and racism and hatred and backbiting and slandering, man, and sickness and disease and everything else, rise up, man, and take your authority that God gave us, man, in the beginning that we lost in Adam's disobedience that has been restored back to us through Jesus Christ's obedience, man, and begin to, man, usurp that authority. How, Arthur? Not by power, not by might, but by the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. What you trying to tell us in this broadcast today? I'm trying to tell you that you can't live this life and fulfill God's purpose for your life without the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus Christ did upon the earth was a means to that end. What? So that the Holy Spirit can come live again on the inside of you. You don't know how much power and authority and control and influence that you have in this earth, in the person of the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. That's why the devil don't ever want you to know the role of the Holy Spirit in the creation of mankind. Without him, you can't accomplish that. You need the power of God. Listen, Jesus never attributed none of those mighty works that he was doing. He never attributed that to himself. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18, they brought him into the synagogue, man, and he stood up to read, and he found a messianic prophecy. He found in the Bible, boy, where it was written, man, about himself. And, boy, they gave him the book of Isaiah, and he opened to that passage of scripture in the book of Isaiah. I'm not sure, but I think that's in Isaiah 61. You know the scripture very well. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. They gave him the scroll from Isaiah, and Jesus turned to the place where it was written. And it's something about that. He turned to the place where it was a messianic prophecy about him. And you know at the end of that, they wanted to throw him off the cliff? You know why they took him out and wanted to drag him and throw him off the cliff? Because of the way he read that. Listen, that was a messianic prophecy of the coming king, of the coming man redeemer, of the coming Messiah. And the way he read it like, boy, that was him that he was talking about back there. Hallelujah. That's why he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. What he read? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. He said he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What? All those who were brokenhearted because of the slavery of the devil that we were in captive to, boy. He come to heal us, man. I don't care what broke your heart, man, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether it's a circumstance or a situation or something. The good news is you ain't got to be brokenhearted no more. You can rise up above that, man, and instead of letting, man, what somebody did to you or what some circumstance or situation or something, man, that did to you, you can rise up above that and, man, and be victorious over there. He sent me to open, to set the captives free. What? You was in bondage to the slavery of the devil himself under his puppet strength control. He come to set us free, man, from the devil, man. He come, man, to redeem our life. Just like Moses, just like God sent Moses and redeemed the children of Israel from under the slavery of Pharaoh and all of Egypt. Man, the same way Jesus Christ come, boy, to set us free from the slavery of the devil and all the bondage that's in this world system. That story about Pharaoh and Egypt and Moses and the children of Israel, that was a type and a shadow of something, man, that was in the natural. That wanted to explain something that was going to take place in the spiritual realm. Just like Moses came in and went to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, and you know what happened in the end. He had to let his people go, and not only did he have to let his people go, but, boy, he got destroyed in the process at the end. Pharaoh, his army, his kingdom, Egypt, all that was left in devastation. Pharaoh and his army drowning in the Red Sea. Egypt, man, left in devastation, man. A funeral in every house in the land of Egypt, man. The firstborn in Egypt was dead. Well, God did not only deliver his people, man, from the bondage of Pharaoh, but, boy, he destroyed, man, that kingdom, man, of Egypt. The same way, man, God didn't only send Jesus, man, to redeem our life from the slavery of Satan and the world system, but he destroyed it in the process. That was going to happen in the end. The devil, his angels, the false prophets, they going to all be cast into the lake of fire, boy. No more devil to kindle. That's why I say the end in Revelation chapter 21, that there was no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. And it was on earth just like it is before. And who doing that? That's God doing that. How he doing it? With his word of God. Who is the one that he do it? Who's taking the word of God and bringing it to manifestation? That's the Holy Spirit. That's why he did all that that he did and died up on the cross. To cleanse you up. Why? So that you can have that same mighty working power living on the inside of you. Listen, my time is up. I close with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 13, 15, somewhere around there. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you, and it shall also make alive not only your moral body, but your original intent and plan and purpose and destiny that God has for your life. Good time for us to go on in God and go from elementary, man, and start growing up and operating once again in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because you too, who were dead in trespasses and sin, has been raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all your circumstance, situations, symptoms, principalities and powers and rules of darkness in high places. So let's begin to reign in life out through the power of the Holy Ghost and come into the knowledge of. Listen, I love you. My wife, Gail, and I, our contact number is area code 713-870-3776. Hope to hear from you. Stay tuned. God has great things in store for us. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
First.
This is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our